The apostles pleaded with Jesus, "Lord, increase our faith." In response, Jesus said, "If you have the faith the grain of a mustard seed, you could say to the mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you." Our Lord's using two very powerful images that probably escape us. The mustard seed is about the size of a grain of sand, and yet when planted and nourished, that little seed sprouts and will eventually become a bush, almost like a tree, that's 20 feet tall. Well, if it's 20 feet tall, it means the taproot is 20 feet long. And then the branches eventually go out to about 10 feet, so a radius of 10 feet round. This little mustard seed, too, can grow in poor soil or good soil, in hot, dry conditions or wet, cold conditions. The mustard seed tree can even be leveled off, practically, and it will grow back even stronger. With the image here, we could think of how birds come to make their nests, their homes in the mustard tree bush, or travelers could find shade and respite underneath the branches. Of course, the leaves themselves are what give us mustard, that spice. Also, they were used for medicine. So our Lord is saying, this has to be your faith. Your faith has to be like the mustard seed that is deeply rooted in me, with that yearning for heaven, reaching up to heaven, with arms that extend out to others, to welcome those, not only into your life, but really the life of the church. So this is the faith of us individually, but the faith of the church. Our Lord is also reminding us that even if persecution comes and we're like cut down, the church becomes very, very small, it's always going to grow again because it's Christ's church, and it will come back stronger. Now, he opposes this to the mulberry bush. The mulberry tree is actually bigger, but not as strong, not as resilient. The mulberry tree can't be planted anywhere. The mulberry tree also puts out this beautiful blossom in the spring that fades very quickly. It's interesting that in the Roman mythology, the mulberry tree was the tree of the goddess Minerva, the goddess of wisdom. So I think our Lord is making a contrast here between Christian faith, Christian thinking, being rooted in Him, versus pagan thinking, being rooted in paganism, with this idea of going for the power, like the power of Rome, what seems to be so enticing, so expedient. Nevertheless, go back. Faith in Christ will always lead to triumph. The truth of God will always triumph over the pagan thinking, the falsehood. The truth of Christ is always going to conquer the evil. Never fails. Well, my brothers and sisters, today, this first Sunday of October, ever since I can remember, has been designated as Respect Life Sunday. You and I, as Christians, as members of the Catholic Church, have to make sure we're thinking with Christ. We aren't thinking with the pagan gods, having the pagan thinking. You and I hold true what God has revealed to us. Five basic principles. Life is sacred from the moment of conception until natural death. At conception, we know from science, we have a DNA, which makes us unique. We also, though, in our faith, know God purposely creates and infuses our soul, who we are as a person, an immortal soul. God purposely wills each one of us. Each one of us has value from that first moment of life. Second principle, then, is every person has dignity, no matter what his or her abilities or talents are. Every person has dignity. Third principle, then, is marriage is between a man and a woman. It makes sense because each one has a God-given dignity. Each one is made in God's image and likeness, but man and woman are different. Those of you who have been married clearly know that men and women think differently. That's the way God made us. And God made us very similar in the sense that everyone has a heart and we have lungs and kidneys. What makes us different? Those beautiful organs that allow a husband and wife, through their sacrament of marriage in union with God, bring forth life. That is miraculous. And so the fourth principle is a child has a right to a father and a mother. And a child has a right to the security of a home. And that brings us to the fifth principle, that all throughout our lives, we have the responsibility of caring for those who are the sick, the suffering, the elderly. We take care of our family. We take care of others who are in need. Five basic principles that are rooted in what God has revealed to us. Moreover, as Christians, we look at Christ. Christ perfectly revealed this. We believe that the Heavenly Father sent our Lord Jesus into this world. Mary conceived by the Holy Spirit. True God became true man. Would anyone deny that Jesus was a person from the moment of his miraculous incarnate conception in the womb of our Blessed Mother? Jesus was born. He was born into a family. Mary's his mother, Joseph his foster father. He had to have a home. And through that home experience of seeing husband and wife, father and mother, of seeing the joys, the sorrows, the triumphs, the tragedies, the successes, the problems that any family faces, he learned about our human existence. Our Lord witnessed the death of Saint Joseph. Saint Joseph died in the presence of our Lord and his Blessed Mother. He himself, though, went to the cross. He knew what it was to suffer and die. In our faith, though, we know, we look at that cross and we see he suffered and died to forgive our sins. So suffering becomes redemptive. Not meaningless pagan idea of this. No, suffering is redemptive. Even when we suffer, uniting ourselves to Christ, we can bring atonement, healing for our sins, for the sins of others, the poor souls in purgatory, the conversion of others. Our Lord did die, but he rose. He rose conquering suffering, sin, and death. And so even though we know we may die, nevertheless, if we die in the love of Christ, in a state of grace, we look forward to heaven. This is how we think as Christians. For this reason, going back to the first century of the church, to the earliest teachings we have called the Didache, teachings of the 12 apostles, we find condemnations. Condemnations of contraception, abortion, infanticide, euthanasia, suicide. Because those were not uncommon in pagan thinking Roman Empire. This is what we believe. And this is what we have to profess, as St. Paul says, not with cowardice, but with firm conviction. Think, though. Think. If we decide, oh, we'll think with the pagans instead of being a Christian. So if we give into the pagan thinking, what happens? Well, what happens is the principles get shot down, and whoever is in power, be it a person, an insurance company, or a government, will decide who lives. So instead of saying life is sacred from conception to natural death, now life isn't sacred at all. You'll hear, especially during this election time, all this about Roe versus Wade, that in 1973 the Supreme Court decided that the unborn child is not a person. Well, isn't that irrational? Because you and I know that looking at the sonograms we have today, even with 3D imaging, that child's a child. And if a child is in need, surgeons can even perform an operation in utero. That child could even be born early, like after 5-6 months, and survive in a neonatal care unit. You all know, especially those of you who have had children, what did you tell your loved ones? I'm expecting a baby. We're going to have a baby. And people asked you, when's your baby due? And yet, the pagan thinking now is, only if I want it to be. And so the pagan thinking says, well, if I don't want it, it's now a fetus. It's a product of conception. And I can take that life at any time until birth. Think back to the Super Bowl. There was a great Doritos commercial. And the Doritos commercial showed a mom having a sonogram. There's the doctor, there's the husband eating the Doritos. And it showed very clearly the baby. And the little baby sees dad somehow, or hears dad crunching on Doritos, and is reaching towards the Doritos. Well, what did Planned Parenthood and the National Abortion Rights Action League say? They said this was an anti-choice tactic of humanizing a fetus. Pagan, irrational thinking. But if life's not sacred at the beginning, what about the end? We have 5 states in our country that allow physician-assisted suicide. The District of Columbia will vote on it this fall. How sad it is to think, I decide when I will end my life. But with that thinking, I could also say, well, poor grandma has Alzheimer's here. She can't say anything. She can't decide. I'll decide for grandma and have her euthanized. And then if that's the case, let's think about the middle. So now we've even redefined marriage. It's no longer between a man and a woman. It can be, as the Supreme Court said, 2 men, 2 women. Well, why stop there? After all, if we were Muslims, the Quran would allow a man to have 4 wives. Not bad. Or if we were Mormons, the Book of Mormon would say a man can have as many wives as he want to. Why not? Or, if we were in California, the land of fruits and nuts, we could even marry a tree, like someone did. True story. Absurdity. But if that is what empowers us now, that to fulfill me, as Justice Kennedy said, to fulfill me, I can decide what marriage is, well, then I ought to be able to manufacture a child. And that happens, whether I'm single or if it's a 2 boys, 2 girls, whatever. So we could go to Shady Grove Clinic, we hear advertised on the news, on the radio, and we could go manufacture a child. No wonder a boy in California, now 21 years old, raised by 2 moms, who was manufactured in a laboratory, one day said, "Who's my dad?" Well, he went and found out. And he found out that his laboratory dad also created 150 half-brothers and sisters for him. Absurdity. And then we could take it even further and say, well, since I have such power now, pagan-thinking person that I am, I'll decide who I want to be. I don't want to be a boy today. I'll be a girl. And it goes on and it goes on. And even now, NIH wants to use our tax money to combine human gametes with animal gametes just to see what can happen. Absurdity. Pagan thinking. Empowerment? No. It's impoverishment. And that's what St. Teresa of Calcutta said. We are impoverished to think that I can decide that someone else must die so I can live as I want to. Where has this impoverishment left us since we now buy into this pagan thinking? Well, I would say, look at our young people. Our young people are left with big holes in their hearts. Big holes. Why is it that Fairfax County and Loudoun County, 2 of the richest counties in this country, have the highest teenage suicide rates? Because they have a hole in their hearts. Why is it Loudoun County is spending millions of dollars so we can have suicide prevention programs in all of the public schools, because there's a hole in the heart. The problem is, pagan thinking can't fill the hole. Only Christ, because Christ came to give life. My brothers and sisters, of course we could go on and say, well, we need to change laws and so on. But what we need to do, especially, is be who we are, Christians. And Christians respect life. And Christians are pro-life. And that's not just about laws and politics. It's doing what we do. Our church has always had the hospitals, the nursing homes, the orphanages. Our little parish has the monthly food drive to feed the hungry. And we support the Little Sisters of the Poor and Birthright. We've given money so that a priest in Colombia can have his eye surgery. Or we're supporting a refugee family from Egypt. Yes, that is real pro-life. And I've seen it in so many families also. In our own parish, I'll just mention his first name, John. John, I know from the very beginning of our parish, his wife had MS, and over the years, she slowly declined of the multiple sclerosis, but he cared for her, and he provided the nursing care. She was clean, she was loved, and yes, a few years ago, she passed away to everlasting life. That's how Christians think. Or even Father Shear's family. They had an aunt, Aunt Vi. She wasn't an aunt by blood, she was an aunt by law, a great aunt. But her stepkids didn't want her. So Mrs. Shear and the family took her in and for 2 years cared for her, even though she is suffering from dementia, even though she was, one could say, a burden. But they loved her and made her clean and fed her even by the spoon, and she died peacefully. That's Christian thinking. And I know a family where the girl went off to college, her roommate, another girl, made a mistake, got pregnant. Her family kicked her out and said, if you don't have an abortion, we aren't paying your tuition. The Christian family, Catholic family, took that girl in, made sure she had the care she needed, that she was loved, and eventually the baby was put in a good home. My brothers and sisters, that's Christian thinking. So how do you want to think? We're called to think with the mind of Christ. Otherwise, the old mulberry tree is going to get cast into the sea eventually. It will. It will die. That's where pagan thinking leads, to destruction, impoverishment, death. But Christian thinking thinks with Christ. Christian thinking defends life. Christian thinking doesn't act with cowardice, as St. Paul says. Christian thinking is bearing witness to Jesus, who came to give us life and to give life abundantly. May God bless you.